Let's have a few moments of silence, and then we will start with the Serenity Prayer. God.
God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, I see a lot of familiar faces from last night, and that's awesome. My name is Tarek. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hey, Tara.
Power greater than myself separated me from alcohol and a host of other substances on the morning of November 5th in 2007. And because of a merciful God, a program of Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous, and a group of people that I surround myself with that are excited about the spiritual way of life and they're curious about it. And we adhere to this idea of intimate self-disclosure to one another. Because of all those reasons, I found it unnecessary to use alcohol or any mind-altering substance to treat any degree of psychological pain that I am experiencing. And for that, I will have a debt to carry and a debt to pay, and that's hopefully reflective of the way I live my life. I have been given a gift spontaneously and for free. Last night I started to talk about the two miracles, and oh, thank you, brother.
Okay, sorry, we'll go all the way.
Yeah, go all the way.
All sides.
Yeah. You ask the crowd. We're good.
Yeah, I don't need to pray up here about
hours. Yeah, once that sun goes, because she and I here are. We're in the frying pan. Oh. So, yeah, it's much better. So, these two miracles that I've mentioned briefly, and, you know, it's funny. I'm always reminded when I do this of my buddy Charlie. So, usually when I say I'm going to circle back to something, it's because it's not the appropriate time to go down the path of that topic of conversation. But for me to tell you that I'm going to circle back to it, I'm probably not going to come back to it. You know, so I get excited when I circle back to something and it shows back up. And I do want to touch on it. It just wasn't the right time last night. And we talk about these two miracles. The first miracle has to happen spontaneously, which is the miracle of separation. Without the miracle of separation, there is no recovery to talk about. There is no coming back from the gates of insanity and almost death to tell a story. Got to have the separation. But this second miracle of many miracles that take place is the return of our sanity. And this one is an incremental evolution. It doesn't happen all at once. I can tell you, I mean, I'm coming up on celebrating my 18th year completed, and I'm just now waking up to my selfishness and self-centeredness in a lot of areas of my life, right? We were talking about last night with my 10-year-old, you know, his father has been in and out now after having 5 years sober, lost his business, you know, lost his teeth, lost everything. And now I'm sitting here, hey, I'm stepdad, I'm super dad, I'm here, I'm the one that's here for you, right? I want to win this battle of the dads. Really good motive behind that, right? I want to be there for this little boy. And then my sponsor has to point out to me, Tarek, if you win that battle, your 10-year-old loses. And I woke up to how selfish and self-centered I truly am. What do I, if I truly wanted what was best for my 10-year-old, is for him to have his dad in his life. And so we have to wake up that incremental return of sanity. But then Lindsay touched on something last night that I want to touch on, which is this, you know, why do we get taken? Why do we wander off to the gates of insanity and almost death with alcohol and drugs? You know, would they have ever done so much to us if they had not done a tremendous amount for us at one point in our lives? You know, and for me, it was a problem of isolation that alcohol and drugs solved. Not a problem of solitude. Vast world of difference between isolation and solitude. So there's something I want to read real quick. This is from Thoreau. And he had a notion that solitude is really, or at least can be, a state of mind, not a condition of the body. Let us expand a bit on this. We are, for the most part, more lonely when we are abroad among other men and women. I mean, just sit with that one. Lonely in a crowd. Anybody have experience with that? So we are more alone in this crowd than when we stay in our chambers. Now, this is a familiar notion, the idea that a person can feel terribly solitary in the midst of a crowd. So we talk about what is our, we talked about the great service that we have here. You know, once this awakened spirit takes place, at least in my experience, you could not stop me from trying to carry the message. That's the greatest service we can be involved in, is in the awakening of another human being. All right, we do all kinds of service, like I mentioned, around this fellowship. But I was reading a story this morning, and let me see if I can remember all the details of this story. I read it again. I've read this story so often because it blows my mind. I got this book called Stories About God, and I like to read it in the morning. And one of the stories is about this guy named Mo, who meets a woman, and her name is Dawn. And she fosters children who cannot see, hear, and or talk. This is her calling, her spiritual assignment in life, to take care of these children, the ones that were left by the rest of society. And she meets this man, Mo, and they get married. And 5 years into their marriage, she develops lung cancer, and she dies. And Mo wants to carry on her vision, okay? And her vision is to take care of these children and bring the children that the world has discarded. They had this 1 6-year-old girl. She, God bless her, couldn't see, hear, or talk. So the only way he knew for sure if she was getting like the love she needed was to sleep next to her on a sofa bed. To know that there was someone there in the world that was caring for her. Now, let me talk about spiritual assignment. So he and his wife had one child before she passed away, and the child had brittle bone disease. You know, and that's where you can't really do much without damaging yourself. And so this kid grew up to be a computer scientist, but his dad had to help him tie his shoes. He had to help him bathe. This is a grown man because he's got this brittle bone disease. And when he was interviewed, I think it was like Good Morning America or Dateline, one of those places, he said that was the way God made him. That was the way God made him. And so there's a little thing that goes with this. This is from Thessalonians 5:14. This is what we do with sponsorship, right? Our ultimate act of service to show someone the way. You know, we're way showers here, and we all know who in here has actually sponsored. Let me get a show of hands. Who have, like, okay, so like half the room here is sponsored. Tried to carry the message to someone. We can't deliver the message, but we can carry the message. And so we've all had sponsees that sure as hell can't hear. We've all had sponsees who sure as hell cannot see. They are, we call that delusion, right? And I've sponsored some guys that can barely talk because their self-esteem is so low. They're scared to look you in the eye. And so what this man shared with the interviewer was that encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak, and be patient with everyone. And we talk about, I was at a retreat a couple weeks ago, and one of the facilitators talked about, what's your spiritual assignment in life? We've been given a spiritual assignment here to carry this message. But we have to have an awakened spirit first, right? We can't transmit something we don't have. And so Lindsay last night was like, what did alcohol do for you? What did it do for you? Because remember, the world was not a friendly place for this guy right here. Born in another country, immigrated here when I'm 3 years old. I have a name that doesn't look like me. I'm look Irish, right? I could pass for an Irishman. Maybe a Scotsman too, but not somebody born in Damascus, Syria. I don't look like that, right? And remember, Mom tried to send us to the mosque. We get ostracized because we're too westernized. We tried to go to the church and go to Bible study and participate in Young Life. But I'm Tariq, what's your name? So I'm constantly experiencing, like Chuck C in New Pair of Glasses has this circle drawn that includes everything. Everything in existence is in this circle. And for the alcoholic and the drug addict, we are this little dot outside the circle. And that was, I mean, it was put on massive steroids in my situation because I didn't belong anywhere. Even my extended family thought it was odd how westernized me and my brother had become. And so sitting in the crowd, what I read from Thoreau, you can be entirely alone. And that's the problem that has to be solved with us, for some of us. And so when Lindsay last night was talking about, what did alcohol do for me? It solved this problem at a very deep level. As this world wasn't a friendly place, I remember alcohol for me was a spiritual experience. The drugs were a spiritual experience, synthetic be it, but it was still an experience because it altered my state of being. Isn't that what happens when we have an awakened spirit? Our state of being becomes altered. I remember being 15. I did not drive at this point. I was with friends that were driving, and we went to back in the early 90s, believe it or not, if you had some parents that allowed you to drink at their house. They would collect car keys. They didn't want the kids out running around driving. That's how we grew up. And I was at my buddy's house. I'll never forget his name, Michael Lee. We're at his house. It was the cool crowd. I was on the periphery of the cool crowd, and as I got better in athletics, I got into the cool crowd, whatever the hell that is. But I wanted to be a part of that crowd. And we're at this pool party, and it was also a set of parents who just did the double take when they found out what my name was. And so I'm sitting on the edge of the pool deck near the shallow end, and I'm sitting on one of those pool chairs. And I got a buddy next to me, and there's a lot of pretty girls at this pool party. And I am terrified, okay? I'm terrified. I just am. I don't want anybody to know I'm coming unglued internally. Like, I look out at all of your eyes. And this is what they tell me. Now, look, I've heard it described this way. When I heard it the first time, and I hear some things, and they just commit to memory. I don't know where that comes from, but boom, it downloads, and it's there. But when I looked at their eyes around that pool party, their eyes said, "We have enough friends we don't need anymore. We have enough friends we don't need anymore." So I'm sitting there, and I'm drinking, right? Because everybody there is drinking. And I observe over to the deep end of the pool, and at the deep end of the pool, there's a shed where they kept all the tools and all the lawnmowers. And there's, I'd say, about maybe 8 feet between the shed and the deep end of the pool, which at this pool had an 8-foot deep end. And there were these really cool guys that I looked up to that I wanted to be friends with, and they were jumping up on this shed, and they were running across the shed and doing cannonballs into the deep end of the pool. And not only am I terrified of all the girls there, I am terrified of heights. I am terrified of heights. Even climbing up on this shed seemed like a mountain. And I'm drinking. And if we could, somewhere between the second and the fifth drink is the magic, right? If I could stay between the second and the fifth drink, I'd still be out there drinking, right? But we passed that point, right? We go travel into the point where there's no return without a higher power. We've gone beyond human aid. Nobody knows this until they're in that region, unfortunately. And so somewhere between the second and the fifth drink, I had a profound alteration in my reaction to that situation. Somewhere between the second and the fifth drink, I began to have a transformation. Somewhere between the second and the fifth drink, I began to have a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from my insecurity in that situation. Somewhere between the second and the fifth drink, I had a sudden and spectacular upheaval take place inside of me. Somewhere between the second and the fifth drink, alcohol began to do for me what I could not do for myself. And I was able to walk over to that shed, climb up on that roof, run across the pool, and jump into the deep end of the pool. And when I got out, not only had I been transformed, but all of you had been transformed. Your eyes did not say what they did before. Holy cow. That's what alcohol did for me. That's power. That is an alteration. That is a change in our state of being. And so as we discover this relationship, you know, it becomes an altar at some point that I begin to sacrifice things to. Right? You know, and because I was a standout athlete in high school, I was a periodic drinker. But when I think back over my experience, there were many, many times when I drank more than I intended to drink, and I would bow to the porcelain god at the end of the night. And I would then get the almost the acute alcohol poisoning where, like, you got to, like, lay down in one position and you can't move, and, or if you move, you're running straight to the bathroom. You know, that happened quite often. And then it's the progression of this relationship that I built with alcohol and these other substances. And you know, then I begin to wander. I begin to wander through life. And for a very long time, it was the medicine that I needed. It was the solution that I needed. It altered everything in my life. It altered my relationships. It altered my ability to participate in life. Okay? And so when you know, Lindsay and I are litter mates, you know, I love that saying, Charlie used to. And we got sober together. And at the beginning, when I introduced myself, I made a comment about who you surround yourself with. I said this last night, so I've got some new faces here. But I used to sit in meetings and hear about the whole osmosis thing. You can't get it through osmosis. I get it. Nobody can work the steps for you. You can't have an experience with our process without taking the steps yourself. But if you surround yourself with the right people, it is contagious. It's contagious. So we've been together this whole time. We've got our little crew that's been together this whole 18 years. Not many of us left, but we're here. Right? Because what are the attributes that we have? We have this heart for the new person that we can't explain. What he's talking about there with that story I shared with you. You know, the timid, the weak. Be patient with everyone. You know? So we had this desire. You couldn't stop us from trying to carry the message. We're down at the Salvation Army. We're at the Cobb Detox Stabilization Unit. You know, we are at Sunrise Detox. I mean, place after place, we experienced this. Us and a few of our other home group members that are still around to this day. And that was contagious. And then we'd start reading books about Thomas Merton. What is contemplation? We read Anthony DeMello, The Way to Love, Awareness. The Four Agreements. We get introduced to all these books, and we're all curious about it, right? Then we go down this really self-centered path called scripting. and you guys have heard of affirmations, you know, like looking in the mirror, I am worthy, yeah, and we went down this path of wanting to co-create, right? Be the author, co-author of our own experience in life, not realizing how egoic the practice in itself truly is. But we did it together. Because when people, I had somebody come to me about Joyce Reynolds and scripting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's where you take a journal and you write out, you know, I am financially secure. I am a business owner, even though you don't own a business. I am this and I am that. And you're trying to manifest, you know, it's the law of attraction. Anyway, there's no downside. But I had a guy come to me, this was about 6 months ago maybe. He asked me all about it. And I didn't. The old Tarek would have shot it down, right? Because I'm approaching it from where I am. What do I do with sponsees sometimes? I try to bring them to where I am, forgetting that I need to meet them where they're at. What does that really say when I'm trying to bring them to where I am? It's telling them and telling myself that I have forgotten from where I came. I have forgotten my baseline. I forgot what it was like on November 1st, on November 2nd, on November 3rd, on November 4th, 2007, before the mercy and grace of God took place in my life. And so what I opted for was to tell him to have his own experience with it. Man, simple, right? I mean, this whole process of addition by subtraction, letting go of old ideas. Sandy Beach used to talk about it all the time. Every time I get ready to let go of an old idea because I've seen it and I've had an experience with it and there's been this, it's like falling off on its own. I am excited because I've become a little bit more whole as a human being. Isn't that interesting that I'm becoming more whole by losing stuff? I'm becoming more whole by eliminating things from my life. So when it says that these 12 steps are 12 principles, spiritual in nature, and if practiced as a way of life, can expel the obsession to drink and use drugs, but more importantly, it renders the practitioner happily and usefully whole. Isn't that what we all want? To be whole? Yeah. But we did this all together. It was contagious. We did that together. We carried the meetings together. We went to the conferences and the conventions together. We did everything together. Find your road dogs. Keep your feet moving. My sponsor talks about it all the time. Yeah. I've trained my feet. I see my back row people. Yeah, I was a back row guy. You know. Then I heard a guy named Big Frank say, and please, I'm not saying this today, but he really shattered something in me, because I was a back row guy for a long time. And I heard this guy say one time, I said, how dare you? But he said, you know, sit on the back row, bleed out, you know. But if you want what we have, you come up front. And I'm not telling you to come up front, because I want to meet you where you're at, right? But I had to go through what I went through. I had to go through my fire and brimstone. I had to go through shoving the big book down people's throat. I had to go through alienating groups and having to go back to entire groups and make amends. I had to do that. I got banned from a clubhouse.
He did.
I got banned from a clubhouse because all I wanted to do was draw lines in the sand. All I wanted to do was draw lines in the sand. Your way is wrong, my way is right. I had those experiences, but we did this all together. That can, you know, you got to find your people, and you walk through this process, you know. And so what I discovered in that experience I shared at the pool was the power of alcohol, you know. And then you read Carl Jung's letter, and you're just like, hold on a second. This guy's telling me my thing that I had, that everybody sitting in this room has. Every single person in this room has felt at some point or thought at some point, something is missing. There's something in here that's not right. Right? I came down the chute and God forgot a couple of things. Right? Oh shit, that guy's going to be an alcoholic or addict. I forgot to put it in there, right? Everybody's had that feeling that something's missing. What does capitalism tell us to do, right? Capitalism says go buy it. You can fill that hole. Keep buying. That's what capitalism says. What's social media say? Right? You got to be like this person. Look how great they are. They want to put everything on social media. I'm going to tell you right now, the best thing I ever did was get off all social media platforms back in 2018. Best thing I ever did. I hope I'm never satisfied with my spiritual condition. I hope that I'm never satisfied with my spiritual condition, because the curiosity will leave, the desire will leave. But we live in a world that's run by addiction. We have this deck stacked against us in this world that we live in right now. We are constantly being distracted and pointed elsewhere. How do we combat that? Yeah, that's what this way of life is all about. You know, and I think back over all the things the alcohol did for us, and I think of Carl Jung's letter. In Carl Jung's letter, he says that the alcoholic's thirst for alcohol, desire for alcohol, is the equivalent of on a low grade of the desire for union with God. Union with God. And we're in a battle, he says in his letter, of good versus evil. I do buy into that. I believe that. The ego, you know, the ego, I used to think the ego was trying to kill me, but it's not. Because without my body, the ego ceases to exist. They ain't trying to kill me. I woke up, that's an old idea that left me. Ego actually, it's like the ego, right? This is why we have to come to believe that we can be restored to sanity. The ego's always been in the front seat. And when we experience surrender, when we begin to work the steps, we slide that bastard into the passenger seat. Right. The ultimate goal here is to put him in the back seat. Right. To be inspired by something else. Right? And I said last night, the freest I'm ever going to be is when I'm dependent on God. But here's the bad news. The hardest thing about trusting God is trusting God. But that's where I'm most free. Otherwise, I'm being run around by my character defects. And so what we're doing here is trying to understand this space between the second and the third step, which is I'm coming to believe and I'm drifting into making a decision. I'm coming to believe and I'm drifting into making a decision. And I have to be there. Why? It's the only way that my first, second, and third step are active in my life. And it's the only way that I know them in such a way that they're being lived and they're not knowledge. Because everybody in here, if I hit play on a button, can download the allergy information, can download the mental obsession information, can download the bedevilments from page 52 information, can download your conception of God, and you can download your decision in the third step. But do you know it in a way that makes a difference in how you engage other human beings? Do you know it in a way that alters your relationships in life? That's what we're talking about here, these relationships in life. And so I think I'm done.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thanks, Derek.
Thanks, Derek.
Hey, y'all, Lindsay Alcoholic. I just have to say this again. Yesterday, Stephen was like, hey, Lindsay, have you ever, like, organized anything like this? I was like, oh, God, absolutely not. I would skill set very bottom. I'm not good at the organizing thing. So Tarek is... I've never met anyone who's that good at organizing. It's unbelievable. Like, it's astonishing. So I'm so grateful to have people like Tarek, Stephen, or Chris, because I'll participate. Like, Tarek would throw, you know, for our home group, would bring in speakers. We do workshops. I'm not doing all that, but I will get the muffins. I'll get the dang cream cheese and the bagels. I'll pick them up from the airport. We'll get the snacks. I'll get the chairs. I soar at that. But this whole org, so anyone that does that, has that skill set, thank you. Because y'all allow all of us to hang out and have a good time. And I'm just really, when Steve was like, you ever done this before? Like, no one wants me to do that. Wouldn't happen. It'd be haphazard. There'd be no coffee. It'd be awkward. And I'd be like, so sorry, I gave you the wrong address. My bad. Didn't mean to. So I'm just still astonished that it works. There was, like, amazing pancakes this morning. I'm like, someone actually got here. They flipped the pancakes. This is crazy. So thank you for the pancakes. Thank you for setting all this up. I'm stoked to be here. And, Tarek, thank you. And then also, I was like, oh, my God, we got a question. So with what Tarek was talking about with, like, this is what's so funny. Nothing wrong with anything you ever want to do, but I can tell you the reason that doesn't work on me is that one spiritual law, I'm going to focus in on that, and I really happen to be obsessed with the one that will hopefully give me money, you know, so I'll turn anything about, like, selfish as heck. And then last night, you know, we were talking, just to recap all this cool stuff, Tim said that story with the kid is too much. It's a really great story. But, you know, last night we were talking about, you know, suddenly, right? Like, if Tarek suddenly hits me, I'm not going to see it coming, right? So it's like alcoholism and stories. Same thing with the, you know, no choice, you know, when I give those that little example and the newcomer's like, but I chose gold. And I'm like, yeah, but you didn't get it because you're choosing an improper information, you know, like, you know, true, I can't discern true from the false in a drink. I really do think I know what's going to happen, and it's not what happens. All right, we talk about all these different examples, because one thing that's always, when I was new, that irritated me was, you know, once I started, I can't stop. I was like, and I just envisioned, like, someone with a bottle of tequila just like, and that's, like, not what it looked like. Sometimes, of course, but... The whole idea is to find out what your experience is. Just, you know, at the end of the day, we talked about that, and we talked about a lot of that good stuff about what alcohol did for you, you know, and I'm big on a recap. And so I said, you know, like, when what alcohol did for me, it really did relieve me of the bondage of self. You know, really did allow me to connect to folks I had the best night of my life. I remember I was in actually, where's Mike? It was a Volkswagen Rabbit. I was in a Volkswagen Rabbit with some creepy dude who shouldn't have been driving around like 14-year-olds. But, you know, I remember being in there. I threw the beer bottle out of the car, hit the road sign. I was like, ha, ha. And it did. It was amazing. And most folks have that experience because it's doing something so profound. I'd yet up until that time to be able to connect to someone. I didn't know what I didn't know. And so that's what became very apparent until I have some sort of psychic change. Need to have that woke my spirit up. I need to have that again. And what was real fun, though, so we talked all about, like, alcoholism, first step realm kind of stuff. But then last night I told y'all, or Tarek actually brought it up, like, no one's getting sold on this thing if we're talking about selfishness, self-centeredness, and God. Like, everybody's going to be like, that's a bit much. And that genuinely was my experience, because I'm new, and they're like, well, selfishness, self-centeredness is the root of your trouble. I'm like, it's not, though. It's actually this drinking and using problem, because I really did. Like, I mean, I know you've lost your stash, and I helped you look for it, but for the most part, like, I'm going to help someone out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I can, I will. Like, you know. So this whole selfish, self-centered thing, it just didn't, because the only concept I have of selfish and self-centered is someone, you know, having a pack of smokes and smoking on me, like, can I bum a cig? And then being like, no. I'd be like, you selfish. You know, that's like the only reference I have. So what does that have anything to do with even just what alcohol does for you, right? Because when we think of selfish self-centeredness, I mean, for me, and I'm just, there's way smarter people out there. I just, you know, started here. So I was just like, I'd give you a cookie. And so what I found was when it was like selfish self-centeredness, all this stuff, I had no idea either. So I'm going to like put language on things that I didn't know for a long time. I'm trying to describe, though, the state of consciousness that I had when I was just, you know, kind of coming in this thing and trying to figure out what this stuff means. And so, all right, what if selfishness, self-centeredness just means like, and I love it. So my favorite, for this personal, my favorite description of the ego, or selfishness, self-centeredness, and like a very simplistic, is Chuxi's. You know, it's separation from, right? And with what alcohol did for me, it connected me. I was always separate. You know, we talked about all that. So I was always separate. Alcohol connected me to you. And kind of to me, to who I thought I wanted to be, you know? But that's what it did. So I suffer from something very much rooted in isolation and separation. So I was even explaining it to my newcomer, because she always asks questions, what do you think ego means? She's like, like, yeah, that, like, better. Yeah. I was like, oh, I get that. You know, just like ego. And that's what I thought. That just means I think I'm better than you. I'm just arrogant. And then we get to talk like, no, it could mean, I mean, I think I'm better than you, it means I think I'm worse than you. You know, it's just anything that separates me from you. That's a huge portion. I mean, y'all heard about what I'm up against, delusion, alcoholism. With that, yeah, we talked about that. So now I'm in this like, oh, wow, what am I really up against now? Oh, this thing that's separate, right? So remember I was talking about pretending with the apple juice, because I'm just dying over here because I don't know how to talk. I don't know how to connect. If I tell you what I'm doing or thinking or feeling, you're going to shun me. But then again, I have great times. Is there anyone here remembers the first time they belly laughs over? I had to check, make sure you weren't high. You know, like, oh, shit, did I get high? What just happened? I was terrified. And so here we are with this understanding difference of selfish self-centered. It's like, okay, what if it's just, man, like, I'm just separate. I'm just so consumed with what I think I know and how I think things should be that I'm separate from you. That's like a very, like, that's where I started with, like, oh, man, like, okay. So I am consumed with selfishness, self-centeredness, or even for me, I'm like an like I had to get like, oh wow, it really is me just thinking that I'm separate from you, that I'm different than you. You annoy me, you irritate me for all these different reasons because I'm scared, you know. And so why it's so important to see that is because remember, alcohol is the thing that solves that. So I got to find something else that solves that, but also I got to figure out what that looks like, because that would be like if you have car trouble, you know, you're not gonna be like, well, you know, I'm having some car trouble. I think I'm not gonna like check the oil, you know, or I'm not gonna do anything. I just like assume it's the starter. Even though the symptoms have nothing to do with that, I think I'll just put a new starter in. That would be like really weird to do that. Like, it'd be like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you just do that? So even with coming into, because I told y'all, I mean, for me, when I really got connected to that powerlessness, power did show up. And I really did see, it really was the first time that I experienced reality, because I saw the reality in like my relationship with drugs and alcohol and others. You know, when I really was like, holy shit, I drink whether I want to or not. I am that person. And it's the first time that I've been actually in reality. So for me, it was like kind of like a first experience with God, you know, other than the spiritual awakening with the beer bottle, right? That was a really powerful moment. I didn't know it at the time, but it catapulted me into a clear, like, okay, that's what I'm up against. So I believe that's what I believe I'll drink again. Like, I believe I've got to do all this stuff. It doesn't make any sense to me. I didn't care that it didn't make any sense to me, but I knew I was going to do it all. And then this crazy thing happened, y'all. I didn't have a lot of time sober. I think I had like 3 months, you know, or something like that. I don't know. 3-4 months sober. And this guy came in. I was in like IOP. Anybody been to IOP? You have been to IOP? Okay. That was a whole spiritual experience in itself. So I'm in IOP, and then the new guy comes in. And y'all, this whole time, remember all that like apple juice stuff? I can't tell anybody about anything. I'm just so scared. I don't even know how to be honest. Everybody's like, you need to get honest. I'm like, I am. I don't even know that I have things. I don't even know how to say them because they all lived here my whole life. So I didn't even know how to say them yet until someone showed me. But this guy came in, and he was talking. And he was sharing about his drinking and using. And I looked at him, and I was talking with him, and something happened to me that has never happened before. I was just like, oh, dude, you can get better. And I knew it. And it changed the rest of my life. So I had no idea that I was, my spirit was shifting and waking up and connecting. I didn't know that I was connecting until it occurred to me that I'm sitting in front of someone, and that's why, and I knew, because I really, truly, I don't know if anybody relates to this or not, but when I got sober, I really did not care to be happy, joyous, and free. It's trying to imagine a color you've never seen. That was like not in the, that not the deal. I really just expected to just, I knew I couldn't drink because I would die or hurt someone else, so I was fine being a boring person. I was just going to be a boring person who read books or something. And so like my like depression or anxiety, like I didn't expect that. I just, you know, people are like, well, I'm really happy now. I'm like, I'm sick. Okay. Like, I didn't have a concept. And I'll be damned. And when I'm sitting, that guy came in, and that's what changed my life, is because all those things that we had talked about added up, and I looked at him, and everything in me knew that he could get well. And I could not help him, because for the first time, I was like, no, that is me. It was the first time that I saw me and connected with, like, me. But it wasn't me. You know, it's like this, like, whole different little kind of, like, click on this connected outside of separation. Where now, any addict, alcoholic, you know, like all of them, I'm like, no, it's very clear that you're me and I am you. So that became the whole thing. You could not pay me to not help, and it has nothing to do necessarily with me. It's just because we are all that, you know. I was just very clear that, holy smokes, my whole life I really thought I was like separate and different and toast. Even with, you know, of course, we talked about, like, I swear I'm a good person. I just do bad things. Give me another shot. Even that, realizing that so much of that, I don't have, like, I didn't have all the facts, so I can't make an actual choice. Like, I'm going to be driven. I have alcoholism, and now I actually have some tools to actually participate. And even that 11th step, the whole point is, I've always known the knowledge of God's will. I've always known right from wrong. I know all y'all have too. I haven't worked with a sociopath yet, but, or maybe I have, I don't know. But most all addicts and alcoholics, they know right from wrong. I've just been so, so rooted and confused and driven, fearful, that I've never been able to have the power to just carry it out. And so meeting that guy and just connecting that, oh my God, you can get well, to me, that was one of the first things. And I haven't been able to stop helping people since then. I did not think of that. I didn't even notice it happened. I wasn't like, oh my gosh, was this like a, did we just have a spiritual experience? Like, I don't know. You know, same thing with them when I laughed the first time with folks. Real belly laugh. I didn't know that was like, it don't get any better than that. I had no idea that I was the most spiritual person in the car that day. Because I was so present, I was laughing. I didn't know that having a shift in thinking and connection with someone, that it doesn't get any better than that. And all this stuff happened for me within my first 6 months sober. And I didn't even know it. You know, it's not like at the time I was like, let me make notes on the spiritual advancements. I just knew that there was a guy that drank like I did and felt like I did and talked like I did. And I chased him around the rooms and into bars with big books. I didn't say it was effective, but, you know, it was the care was there. So now we're getting into this whole thing. And one thing that I thought about when Tarek was talking, which was, there's this part, I don't even know what made me think of it. But I was like, ooh, I'm going to put that there. I just thought about this. Well, it does say, on 62, selfish self-centered, I did just talk about that at a very simplistic level. I really didn't like this idea either of, I think I was in my first year and I had to give a ride. Oh, yeah. To the sober living, some folks needed a ride to the sober living. Well, I didn't have a car for the first year, so let's just tack into year two. Okay, that's crazy. So I was somewhere with a car. and I remember being irritated about having to give him a ride there. Now, don't mind you that people drove me around for over a year, but I remember calling my sponsor and like, and he was like, well, dude, I mean, so you're going to take, oh God, it was trippy. He was like, so you're going to take him so you don't have to feel bad about not taking him? I was like, whoa, you need to stop talking to me. That's too much. We need to stop this. This is too much, too complicated. But it was true, you know, like I did not, we can get into all that. But when it comes to being self-propelled, like, think about me and how I think the world should be. God, I really am jumping all over the place. Visit. So, remember talking about believing the lie, right? So the first one is, I know what's going to happen when a drink enters my body. And then we talked about some other ones, right? Because there's an every step, right? Same thing with, I think I know everything. You know, even in step two, you know, it's like maybe there's power. The crazy thing with the third, or, you know, it's getting into the kind of God stuff, is that, man, I think I really think I know what my selfishness looks like. I really think I know what this should look like. I really think I know, a lot of things. And the crazy thing is that the book ends up saying, like, man, a lot of what you think and a lot of your plans and designs, a lot of your fears are based on a lot of old beliefs that you don't know but this is how they show up, and this is how you orchestrate, and this is how you put things into play, and this is how you run the whole show. And we get into it, and then you're like, okay, yeah, no fair. I can see that if I'm separated, I need power. Now I got some power. You know, now I need to kind of go through. And then on 63, it says, when we sincerely took such position, all sorts of remarkable things follow. We had a new employer. Being all powerful, we provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. And this is a, you know, for, I mean, still to this day, I mean, I'm not that complicated. I keep things pretty simple. I still, I really do believe God will provide what I need if I keep close to him and perform his work well. A lot of time, that's just simple. It's like, man, okay, what does that look like? That looks like me participating in the circle and triangle and helping my brothers and sisters. And I've been doing that a long time. It's one of the biggest bright spots of my life. I mean, mostly because, I don't know, does anyone ever, like, think they needed something and realize that was just not true? You know what I mean? Where it's like, man, if I had this, though. And then you're like, wait, that had nothing to do with that. You write the inventory and the ambition and the pride, and you're like, insecurity, you're like, ooh, that's a little backwards. I really think that if you do this, I'll feel this. Right? I think if you show up in this light, then I'm going to feel like this, or it's going to show me this. And what I found here is I just do that. But me performing, it's not just helping others and doing this. It's like where it's at now. It's those things allow me to. It's so important for me to just be me. So all the little stories and all the stuff we shared last night and me making all the jokes on myself or all that stuff, is it possible? Because with an awakened spirit, the whole goal is it just wants to play. It just wants to connect. Just wants to help. Just wants to hang, you know? And is it possible that participating in all this stuff just allows me where I can allow you to be you, and that can allow me to be me, and we can just have fun, right? But if I'm all stuck in that separate stuff, and I think you're a little better, and I think I'm a little worse. In fact, Buddy Scott told me, he looked at me years ago, and he said, Lindsay, I don't listen to you from who you think you are, I listen to you from who you are. Because for such a long time, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that means. And so is it possible, even whether it's sponsorship or whether it's me going through, is it possible that at this point I can just try to go through and connect with folks about, wow, I am being propelled through this. Here's where I'm driven. But I can very much see that, man, I'm going to definitely, I definitely need a new employer. I definitely need some help here. I definitely need to be able to connect because I feel so separate and I feel so different or I feel so alone or whatever it is. And damn, if I don't get in touch with this kind of connection, you know, if I don't do this, then I don't know. I mean, you cannot do it and that's fine too, but I know I was very, very committed because I was just personally very clear that if I do not have that psychic change on what alcohol did for me, then I was going to do that again. But the cool thing is that I had experiences, little ones like that, before I even completed all the step work. So that's why just staying and like getting the sponsor, having friends, because when that guy came in and that shifted for me, I had no idea what was happening. And I hadn't gone through all the steps just yet. You know, it's like I'd written all this and then it just happened in 12. And they were like, congratulations. All these little things where I got to wake up to all these lies that I believed. One, that I was going to be boring and alone if I got sober. Well, that just changed on a freaking Tuesday. Didn't know that was going to happen. You know, and there's folks out there like, I don't know if it's going to get better. I was like, I don't know either, but like it might. So it does for most people. So yeah, I think that's about it. I think that's all I got.
You're a source of inspiration. She was so descriptive in what our problem is. And we suffer from an illness. I, to this day, will not state that alcoholism and drug addiction are diseases. I don't know. It's not in our literature. Not in the big book anymore. Or the 12 and 12. But they say illness a lot. And I do think it's that. Maybe it's semantics. I've been known to do that kind of crap. But we have an illness necessitates that we change our mind. Or we don't survive. Ain't that some shit? The entire chapter we agnostics is about one thing. You can change your mind. You can change your mind. I was talking to a gentleman. We were eating pancakes this morning. And I'm not going to put you on. But he made a comment about, I'm not a religious guy. And we were connecting that to he took a walk and experienced nature. And but something in his thinking was equating religious man to walking in nature. But the two are not related. There's so many things in my mind that I make these assumptions about what this problem is and what the solution is. And in our 12 and 12, they introduce us to those different guys, like the belligerent one who says, I'm not going to believe, and the guy who's had faith but lost it for some reason. Like for me, being sexually abused from the ages of 5 to 7, I got a good case. Got a good case. I've got a good case. There's no God. I didn't grow up in a religious home. I never made the connection. Never made the assumption that one had to do with the other. Shit, what else have I been wrong about? You know, as you start to wonder. And so we grow up and we have these experiences. I'm sexually abused. And believe it when I say this. That experience has allowed me to help countless men. Countless. I don't know the number. That's why I say countless. Do I see that as an excuse for behavior now? No. No. You know. I mean, you go through these experiences, and like, you don't know what's in your highest good. The experiences that we have, God branded me in that way. The Creator, she, it. I don't believe this God has a gender. Whatever it is, branded me in such a way that is my experience now. And it's either, like the book says, it's going to be my greatest asset, or it's not. We get to rewrite our stories. We rewrite our stories here. If I drift back into the past, and we're going to get into, like, I'm going to talk a little bit about my fifth step, but like when I did the first fifth step and I was able to see that the person that sexually abused me was most likely sexually abused, and I believed it. So I just a little sliver of compassion was born. And that is the bridge, right? That is the bridge between the third column and the fourth column. You got to walk across this bridge. There's forgiveness on the bridge. There's compassion on the bridge. And so I walk over to the other side of the bridge, and then I revisit the past experience, and it doesn't mean the same thing anymore. Once that sliver of compassion is there, right, and I start to see things from an entirely different angle, the meaning starts to change about the life experience, but it's not completely transformed yet until the first man that I'm listening to a fifth step, and boom, he hits me with it. And I'm like, man, I've had the same experience. This is what I went through. This is how I look at it today. This is how I got to the other side of it. I'd like to think it's helped quite a bit in that experience. So what ends up happening, and now I look back, and it's not the same past. It's not the same past anymore. It was God giving me my spiritual assignment. God giving me my spiritual assignment. I tend to sponsor a lot of men who have this. And I don't know. Could I have been as effective if I hadn't had it? Maybe. Right. I had to change my mind. And that's all we agnostics is about, is changing our mind. Everyone is in this room has had faith. We've just had it in the wrong things. That's all. And this idea of depending upon a higher power being the source of freedom, man, that's something I think about a lot today. You know, because my default setting, my my hardware in this computer, it's got a lot of faulty hardware. And I need to examine it on a regular basis. So this idea of self-examination, it's not just my behavior. It's the assumptions I've made about this world. And that's what will block me in step two, are my assumptions. So, all right, let's take a break until 15:45, then we'll come back for the next session. Thank you.